it is with a great feeling of total confidence that I march forward into this year of 1973. And by God, I want to tell you, it's going to be a different ball game. Absolutely a clean slate. As you probably know, during my recent discussion of resolutions for the year 1973, among other resolutions, I have absolutely decided for the first time in my life, I'm going to stick with it. During 1973, I will think only clean thoughts. I'm going to only think about good stuff. Bring it up, George.
I'm sorry. You can have, no, if you want to go to the devil, George, if you want to go down the primrose path to decadence, that is yours. That is your scene. That's your scene. I'm going to march on the high road of goodness and purity. I'm going to march with my head held high. I've already, it's only the second of January, already, I have wrestled with the devil maybe 15 or 20 times, not more than 5 minutes ago. This girl come off the elevator, you saw her. She came right in here, and by God, I'll tell you, it was all I could do to keep from thinking some awful bad thoughts. Well, you saw her.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. I say amen. Amen.
Right along.
Right on. Amen. Yes, sir. And I'll tell you this. Thank you. Thank you, John. That's John Wingate. John has joined me in this. Listen, he used to be one of the worst offenders. I remember in the elevators. John Wingate used to say in the elevators some things that even used to embarrass me. And you know how I am. And it's all over now. 1973, we're cleaning the slate up. I have not thought a bad thought since 1972, departed this world. By the way, I might say, it went out on some awful bad thoughts. The last 30 or 40 seconds, I was trying to cram them all in there. And when that bell rung, and it was 1973, I thought only of birds and trees and beautiful lakes in the countryside. And it's been a wonderful experience for me. I'd like to recommend it to all of you out there. Right now, look in your mind, and I'll bet you're thinking some bad ones right now. Right this minute. Oh, God, it's awful. Oh, but I'm cleansed now. It's 1973, and I'm going to walk with my head up. And by the way, another one of my resolutions, and you might be interested in this, Mr. Wingate. As you probably are aware, and I might say I admit my sin and my error, I come forward in true humility. I come forward on my knees. I come forward leaving a trail in the sawdust there of a true sinner who knows that he's sinned and who stands before you chastised. I have become known for years as a man who bad-mouthed Jersey steadily. Said bad things about Jersey just steadily, almost convulsively. And 1973 is different. I'll say nothing but good things now on about Jersey. I will think clean thoughts about Secaucus, which is not easy. Not easy at all. I will think only of the beauties of Newark. No. There you go, slipping. You're thinking of that chick. No. I'm talking about the beauties of Newark. You've got to sometimes these thoughts contrive to meet there. You've got to be careful. So I'm going to think nothing but good thoughts of Jersey. And to begin that program, which is not going to be easy to sustain during the 1973. I'm not making any promise. I may slip back 1974. I mean, this is going to be a difficult, very difficult yearly program that I have set out for myself. The loneliness of the long-distance runner. It's well known. I will be walking a lonely path. Let's face it, I'm living here. I'm in radio. I'm in television. I'm in showbiz. And most people in showbiz have not drawn a clean thought, a clean breath, in probably 30 years. I will be among sinners. But I will attempt to walk high with my head held in the clouds. My knees moving. Walk a straight path, I say. And, George, I'm aiming at this at you. You're one of the worst, George. You have led me down many a bad, bad lane. Many's the night when I've done a show with you, I've been wandering in the brambles of sin and decadence. I've been tangled up in passion and evil, sipping at the springs of total depravity. By God, it's going to be different. I'm going to pull you out of the mire and the muck, George. I'm pulling you out. I'm pulling you out. I got you by the scruff of the neck, George, and I'm a-pulling. Yeah, but you're fighting, that's right. You ain't going to come easy. But by God, I believe that a pure man has the strength of 10. I'm going to go straight. I'm going to say nothing but good things about Jersey. That's going to be the hardest one. I mean, you all know Jersey. By God, you know it. When you're driving along beautiful Route 22, past Dennis and Clothiers and past the flagship, and you're near the Leaning Tower of Pizza, you go past the Rayco Instant Seat Cover Emporium, and past Great Eastern out there, it ain't easy. Think beautiful, clean thoughts of Jersey, but by God, I'm going to do it. In fact, you know, as part of this campaign, I must say that I find that Jersey is a state filled with patriotic Jerseyites who believe in Jersey. You know that right now, and I'd like to salute that, right now, tonight, there is a great competition going on in Jersey to select a New Jersey state song. I like to see this. I like to see people sing it out loud and clear about how much fun it is to live in Secaucus. And do you want to hear some of the songs that have been submitted? And I salute this. I will sing it for you. I don't have the tunes, but I'll sing it for you. Here's one. I know of a state that's a perfect playland, with white sandy beaches by the sea, with fun-filled mountains, lakes, and parks, and folks with hospitality, with historic towns where battles were fought and presidents have made their home. It's called New Jersey, and I boast about it wherever I may roam, 'cause I'm from New Jersey, and I'm proud about it. I love the Garden State. Oh, I'm from New Jersey, and I want to shout it. I think it's simply quaint. All of the other states throughout the nation may mean a lot to some, but I wouldn't want another. Jersey is like no other. Bum, 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 bum. I'm glad it's where I'm from. Bum. That's, by the way, typical Jersey English usage, and I think it's fine. I'm glad it's where I'm from. Bum, bum, bum. If you want glamour, try Atlantic City or Wildwood by the sea. Then there is Trenton, Princeton, and Fort Monmouth. They all made history. Bum, 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 bum. Each little town has got that certain something, from High Point to Cape May, and some place like Manitoula Loking, Phillipsburg, or Hoboken may steal your heart away. Bum, 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 bum. Yes, I'm from Hoboken. I love, love, love Hoboken. Yes, Hoboken by the sea is all the way for me. Yes, I'm from Hoboken. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum. Now, I think that's nice. I do. I mean, anybody that can find beauty in Hoboken and who can yearn to revisit Hoboken is an inspiration to all of us. I mean, have you ever been in Hoboken? There I'm beginning to do it again. And that's it. Now, here's another beautiful Jersey song. All right. Now, for those of you, now you heard that one. Here's another one that's been submitted. New Jersey, we're proud of you. Of you, we love every mile of your soil. Though you are just one star in the field of blue, it's for you we live and toil. Bum, 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 bum. We live and toil for New Jersey. We love every inch of its soil. We love, love New Jersey. It's for you we live and toil. Bum, 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 bum. The garden state of wealth and renown. Loyal son, so true. There's only one New Jersey. New Jersey, we're proud of you. That's great. God, I mean, that's great. Especially in the line that says, loyal son, so true. And so for the, you know, in the future, no longer will I, you know, I'm just not going to badmouth this state. Now, to show you the folk music, now just don't go away. I have folk music that comes right out of Jersey. See, one thing about New Jersey, these are people of the simple soil. I mean, this is the I might say the salt of the earth, right? And you meet the average New Jerseyite next to Route 22, standing in front of the Dairy Queen, wearing his WMCA good guy sweatshirt, you have met the salt of the earth. I mean, a New Jerseyite standing in line before the donut machine at the Great Eastern is a man who is a true American. And this is the salt of the earth. Now, I want to get that tape ready in there, George. I want to play for you a tape that shows New Jerseyites at play and creating an art form. Bring that up. Listen. You are listening, hold it down, George, you are listening to the 214 Club, a group of art students and people who are interested in furthering the aesthetic adventures and the aesthetic experience of his fellow man. You are listening to the 214 Club, which meets in room 214 of one of the dormitories on the campus of Stevens Institute over in Hoboken. And the orchestration of this group consists of a kazoo, a true Jersey instrument, an accordion. What is more Jersey than an accordion? A wine jug, one small dog, a radiator, a wet sneaker beating on a suitcase, and three garbage can covers. Now, listening to this music, you can feel all the animal vitality of the spirit of New Jersey itself. This was recorded in the middle of a true Jersey beer bust. That's right. It was recorded in room 214 in the South Dorm at Stevens Tech in the heart of beautiful, vibrant Hoboken, New Jersey. Very good. Now, George, please set that up. I want to hear the next one on that tape, okay? I just want tonight, of course, as you know, is Jersey Appreciation Night here on the show. And this is WOR New York, in case you're wondering where all this is coming from.
It's a misty night. Walking along Cedar Street, hand in hand, are Andy and Betsy. Know what Andy's doing, besides being nervous about how he can kiss Betsy goodnight? He's sneaking a lifesaver. And not even Betsy will know he snuck it until he kisses her.
Wow. Lemon, got another lifesaver?
Girls are why boys should always carry plenty of lifesavers.
Lifesavers for the living. Cause their great flavors have been around for years and years. And folks have found there's nothing quite like lifesavers. A part of
lifesavers. Lifesavers is a registered trademark.
Some left over when payday come and gone. Try the way they stainless, the payroll savings plan. Even earn a bonus, that is the easy way. Take stock in America by U.S. savings bonds.
For those of you who have just tuned in late, I'd like to say that this is the beginning of my whole new attitude towards life. Walt, I've cleaned up my life. Walt, I'm serious. I've cleaned up my life. And from this day on, no longer am I going to think dirty thoughts, clean thoughts, all the time. And the next thing, of course, as you know, the most difficult thing, I have been accused of saying, well, actually bad-mouthing Jersey. And that's all over. And for those of you who've just tuned in, this is part of our Jersey Appreciation Night. Now, let's take some of the cultural features of New Jersey. Let's just take, for example, the flagship. Well, now, for those of you who don't know Jersey, you look at me, what is the flagship? Right? You ask this. If you wish to examine Jersey culture from, let's say, the external aesthetic side, and let's face it, Jersey has a great, deep, rich inner life, which we have not even begun to discuss. You hear a little of it here on these magnificent tapes recorded in Stevens Tech. The rich inner life of Jersey, certainly, especially in the second chorus, was beginning to be much more evident and vibrant. Now, for those of you who wish to experience Jersey, I would suggest that you take, you can leave civilization by many routes. You can leave by the Lincoln Tunnel, the Holland Tunnel, the George Washington Bridge. You can leave civilization and move out into this fantastic mosaic of human passion and aesthetic joy that is Jersey. And I would suggest that as you move out, say, through the Holland Tunnel, you'll notice many different avenues that lead all different directions. The picturesque the Jersey Turnpike leads off to the left. Route 3 leads kind of off at an angle. I would suggest that you look for the one that says Route 22, because within a short time, you will be transversing, you will be cutting through one of the basic heart arteries of New Jersey life and culture. Within a short time, you will see coming up out of this, by the way, in my earlier, critical days of Jersey, I would have called it the Jersey crud. No longer is it out of the fragrant Jersey atmosphere, which is colorful. It's sometimes colored yellow, sometimes it's colored purple, sometimes colored orange, depending on what the chemical factories in the neighborhood are squirting into the air at that time. And it has a certain beauty. As you drive into this great, beautiful miasma of Jersey atmosphere, you will see coming out of the darkness at you what appears at first to be a truncated ocean liner. Actually, it is a furniture shop, which is built in the form of a sheet metal boat. Now, that is called the flagship. And early in its days, when Jersey was an emerging state, when it was just like any other state, just went around, you know, looked like Pennsylvania, looked like Indiana, Jersey began to acquire its pungent character, and its truly unique character, by a few pioneers who created the aesthetic life of Jersey. And so the two unnamed builders who decided to build the building at great cost, and by the way, it cost them their fortune because it was a total fiasco. When they first decided to build a building in the shape of a ship, complete with poop deck, complete with a quarter deck and a bridge, these were pioneers. And they did. They built it, and it now stands astride one of the most colorful throughways in America, Route 22. And as you drive towards it, it comes right out of the darkness at you. And you feel the sense of an approaching, it's animal vitality that you feel in Jersey. You'll notice as you look off to your right, as you approach the flagship, you can see two guys from Harrison. They lately truncated the name to two guys. Their great, vast, beautiful emporia of worldly goods stretches before you, and thousands of Jerseyites have come to pay homage at this shrine of Jersey life. Now, this is all part of the Jersey scene, and I'd like to lead you through other guided tours. For example, the great elephant at Margate should not be missed if one is going to examine Jersey life. For example, the elephant at Margate. Have you ever heard of this? Well, this was a 19th century pioneer of Jersey life. A builder decided to build an 8-story hotel in the shape of a gigantic elephant, standing next to the town of Margate and forever looking out to sea. And you could get rooms in this hotel in various parts of the anatomy of the elephant. Depending on whether you were, you know, one of those favored guests, you would get a favorite room. If you were not one of the favorite guests, you would get a room in the less favorite parts of the elephant, which incidentally looked out towards the Jersey marshes. And so this is part of Jersey life, not to be missed for those of you who are students of Jersey existence. Now, well, let's take Jersey inner life. The one thing that Jersey has, and I'm very serious when I say this, when you leave, when you leave civilization, you move out. And you go, you begin to move into the tundra, the littoral of Jersey. You begin to sense a life. But all primitive peoples give you this feeling. It's a sense of life, a sense of animal magnetism. And this is what Jersey is known for. Any of you who have gone into, say, the Red Circle Bar in South Secaucus, just off Route 1. On a Friday night when 18 or 20 guys have pulled their Cummings diesels in and the beer has been flowing freely, you can understand that Jersey life is like no other life that you've ever known. Now, George, please, will you? Again, we'd like to bring you some of the folk music of Jersey. What is folk music? Have you asked yourself that? Well, probably you haven't. Well, I'm asking you this question now. Rhetorically speaking, what is folk music? Well, it's music that pours out of the folk itself. It's untrammeled. It is music that does not know. Yes, that's right. It's music of the soul, right? It's music that just simply pours out of the people of the place and the time. No, it is not disciplined, because the soul is not disciplined. It is not the finely honed phraseology and elegant counterpoint of Mozart, which was the very antithesis of folk music. Mozart, Beethoven, Bach, the great classicists, they created classical structures. But the folk singer, the true folk singer, as opposed to the college type of folk singer, the folk singer who sings of working on the railroads of the 30s, this is not folk songs. This is something else again. This is a museum piece. True folk music is a barbaric yawp. And try that again. That true folk music is a barbaric yawp. It's Thomas Wolfe crying to the heavens. It's Eugene Gant shaking his fist at the skies and at God. It is the barbaric yawp of the folk attempting to express themselves in the inarticulate way of the folk. Right? Right, right. I knew you'd agree. And so So the Jersey yawp, the barbaric yawp of New Jersey, can be found everywhere you care to look for it. The Red Circle Diner, the Bluebird Diner, the TikTok Diner, the Route 3 Diner, they're all there, and they're all full of vibrant, rich life. And you have to move fast. You have to keep your eyes out, because whenever you're among primitive peoples, you must watch, because they can change like the wind, because they do. They express themselves immediately in all kinds of ways. You may find that your hubcaps are gone when you come back out in the parking lot. This is a simple expression of a folk. Do not misinterpret it, please. And bear no malice. They're children wandering through a great world full of baubles, and you have merely tempted them. I also suggest that you don't take them on, because
because they are true primitive folks and have well-developed muscles and move fast. Now let's go back to room 214, the South Dormitory at Stevens Tech in colorful Hoboken, as we hear once again the barbaric yawp of the simple folk. This is not the effete rhythms. This is not the decadent sounds of a rock group playing at Madison Square Garden before 16,000 people, with 7 agents present, 19 press agents, and $200,000 worth of audio equipment. Not at all. This is the real thing. This is in room 214 of the South Dorm. For those of you who are musicologists who might be inclined to understand these things, the orchestration used by these people, these simple folk, simple orchestration, a kazoo, an accordion, and there can be no instrument more typical of Jersey than the accordion. A wine jug, also a very, very typical instrument used in Jersey for a number of uses. A wine jug, a small dog is also present. Small dogs are almost always present in any gathering in New Jersey. A radiator with a leaky valve on the side. A wet sneaker beating on a suitcase, half filled with dirty laundry. This is part of it. And finally, 3 garbage can covers. The barbaric yawp of the Jerseyites. Very good. Now you. There you go now. 5'2", 5'2", eyes are blue. You all know this. I just, I can't help it. Has anybody seen my gal? Oh, 5'2", eyes are blue. Look at her, she's coming down the street. Ba-ba-ba-ba. There, very good. That was the barbaric yawp of the simple folk of New Jersey. That was recorded on the scene, by the way, at great, great danger and great difficulty. It was. We'll have to apologize for some of the technical inadequacies on that. But when you're recording in the bush, you cannot have the studio conditions that you would have under less dangerous situations. And this was recorded in combat, so to speak, in room 214, the South Dorm of Stevens Institute of Technology in Hoboken. And that was classically and typically Jersey. For those of you who are real students of folk musicology, you'll notice that like most folk music, it had an insistent, an almost overwhelming beat. Because folk music tends to run mostly to percussive effects. We find this in certain areas of Uganda. We certainly find it in areas of the Belgian Congo. And so it is with the folk music of Jersey. It's a heavy, insistent thump, 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 thump. Very unsophisticated and yet extremely compelling. I'll give you an illustration of this, would you please? You hear the beat now. Thump. Yes, you can almost sense the cans of Rheingold being passed from hand to hand in true, simple, basic, friendly native fashion. Oh, the greatest of ease, the daring young man on the flying trapeze. Does not that are grateful his feet.
Now, you will also notice something, I think, which is highly significant in the study of this kind of music. It is only the beat, which is simple and primitive. The orchestration is highly complex and indeed almost esoteric in its overall feeling. There are very private references that are made from time to time to local folk legends of the folk that are involved. The occasional barking of a small dog, which is very carefully and totally absorbed into the total effect. The garbage can covers, which, by the way, are highly symbolic of life in Jersey. For those of you who've moved through the Jersey marches, you know that garbage is a main factor in the state's economy. And the heavy, insistent beat of the garbage can lids. You notice they did not use lids of waste baskets, that sort of thing, which would be more typical of the life of the Manhattanite. The garbage can lid is purely Jersey. Now, you'll notice, too, that the actual tune that is used, and as is the case in most true folk music, is traditional. 5'2", eyes of blue. This is a fairly traditional piece of music in Jersey. And particularly at times when the ritual qualities of the gathering become evident, the beer has been flowing freely, that they tend to go backward in time, reaching for the historical aspects of their own life. So I just want to say that tonight, would you like to hear that again? Everybody likes it. George, would you please reset the early one, the first one there, which I think is probably more, it contains more elements of Jersey life, Steve, than any other of the pieces of music we've heard. This is the Beer Barrel Polka. Beer is one of the main lifebloods that runs through almost all of Jersey philosophical discussions and gatherings. It is impossible to comprehend Jersey without beer. Just as it's difficult to picture a Paris without wine, Jersey without beer, it just simply isn't Jersey. And so Beer Barrel Polka is really in a form of an anthem. It's an anthem. It's singing the praises of the lifeblood of the community. And in, by the way, a very symbolic and highly realistic rhythm, the polka. For any of you who've spent any time at Passaic or Caucus, you know that the polka can be heard roaring out of many taverns at 10, 11, 12 at midnight. That is before the sirens of the arriving police generally tend to bring such gatherings to an abrupt end. So we hear now the Beer Barrel Polka. Jerseyites crying in their barbaric, simple yawp to the god of beer, which speaks to the hearts of all of us. You'll probably notice, without me even telling you, that the heavy, insistent beat gets even more insistent and heavy as they sing of beer, because this is coming from the heart. If you listen carefully and if you have high fidelity, you can tune up your high fidelity tuner to its extended, its highest volume that you can get, because this has also some very interesting unspoken and beautifully modulated orchestration. You can hear the sound of beer cans being opened in rhythm behind this last chorus. Hear that scream, a barbaric yawp. They cry to the heavens, shake their fists at the gods. How can you resist this? There you go. That was very good. Excellent. That was the 214 Club, recorded in room 214 of the South
the South Dorm at Stevens Tech in Hoboken. And I just say that I feel so much cleaner. You know, I must say, as a personal confession to those of you who have followed the efforts here from time to time, I feel cleaner. I feel released. I no longer feel that evil oppression of seeing nothing but decadence and depravity in Jersey. I'm released from that. It's like I have been reborn. It's difficult to express it. I can hardly wait now to get out to Great Eastern. It's hard to express to you. I've known other friends of mine who have gone through the sudden reformations. The Eastern, one of the Eastern religions, as a matter of fact, has a word for it, Satori, a moment of true insight. Suddenly everything becomes clear to you, and you've missed the point of life. And tonight I stand before you, a reborn individual, chastened in spirit, I suppose you might say, lifestyle. It's going to be different now. There was a time, yes, I've already gotten out of the. I had this trunk of old stuff. You know, I was going to send to the Salvation Army, and I got my WMCA good guy sweatshirt out. I'm going to start wearing it again, because I must say that I missed the point of many things. It's just like it's like many a person goes through his life. He does not know that he is the victim of biases and prejudices. He believes that he has come to a well-reasoned position. Whereas, actually, he's taking a selfish, chauvinistic attitude. Those of you who have suddenly become aware of the liberation movement among women and understand what it's about, you suddenly stand freed on the threshold of a new world and a new life. You agree? Well, I mean, I'll admit there is some controversy about this, but you must go through this pain. You must go through this wall that stands between you and the liberated spirit. Steve, you do not have it. You're standing on the threshold, though. You're pounding at the door. I've said this to George. George, you're pounding at the door of a new life, and you're hungry for it. I can see it in your eyes. All them nights when you sit there and you've been drinking that Thunderbird and your shoes falling off and your head's beginning to pound. You're hungering for a good, clean life. You are. Yes, you are. Now, you've come to the right place, and by God, I'm going to tell you, things are going to be different here on this. Well, you heard how we affected John Wingate. A minute ago, John walked in, and my God, his eyes lit up. He walked in here, and he shouted out. He couldn't contain himself. You heard what he shouted. What did he shout? Hit that talkback button. Hit it. What did he say, George?
I don't know, he said.
Oh, come on. You heard him say that. You mean you didn't hear him shout, amen?
Right on, baby.
No, he hollered, amen, amen. I tell you, amen. Let's hear you say that.
Amen, baby.
There you go. There you go, George. My God, that feels good to hear you say that. And I tell you, things are different now. Some nights I'm going to sit here, and I may even change my theme. You know that theme song I've got that is kind of raffish? You know, all them horses running up and down there, you know? You hear the theme song I got? Well, I'm thinking seriously of changing. I may even get a recording. By the way, there was a recording once made of the Trenton Sanitation Men's Band that did this fine recording, which is available, if you know where to go. It's available. It's the Jersey State Song. I may use that as a theme. And I'll sing the lyrics. I'll sing it out proudly. I admit I'm no singer, but I'll tell you this. I sing from the heart. I'll sing it out. New Jersey, we're proud of you. We love every mile of your soil. Though you're just one star in the field of blue, it's for you we live and toil. The Garden State, the Garden State of wealth and renown. Loyal son, so true. There's only one New Jersey. New Jersey, we're proud of you. Yeah, we're the greatest of beings, the daring young men are the flying trapeze. Actions are playful, rather than please.
Thank you.
feel cleansed. You know, it's funny. That's one of the perversities of the human mind. You probably noticed it, Jerry. You've no doubt noticed it. Certainly you have, George. I know you've suspected it yourself, Steve, that we all have a basic desire to confess. To confess. To lay out our sins before the public. And, of course, in that way, beg forgiveness, right? To beg understanding, sympathy. From the howling mob that we live in. And tonight I feel cleansed that way. I've been living a lie, a sham. All these years I pretended that I hated Jersey. I pretended that Route 22 was an eyesore and a desecration upon the aesthetic spirit of man. I stand before you cleansed because of the power of confession. Tonight, since I have confessed my sins, and my deep and abiding love for New Jersey has come to the surface and the fore, I feel a stronger, honest, more, well, let's put it this way, a more human man, a larger person, who looms on the horizon with stature and solidity. And so tonight I say, Jersey, I love you. God, I love you, Jersey. I can hardly wait to go through the Holland Tunnel, to see beautiful Route 3 stretch before me, and to pass lovely, the Route 3 drive-in, where New Jerseyites are getting more out of life every night, attending movies at the Route 3 drive-in and eating all that pizza and the Chinese egg rolls, and drinking Dad's old-fashioned root beer and hollering and yelling. Yes, I stand before you a different man. Have you noticed that 1973 has begun on a new beat, a different beat? Hear that insistent beat, that cry, the inchoate yawp, the barbaric yawp of man shaking his fist at the cloudy New Jersey sun, begging forgiveness of the devils that lie beyond the swamps. And you notice running through this music is the fear. Yes, the fear of the ancient enemy of the Jersey peoples, the Jersey devil. The terrible New Jersey devil which stalks them. Occasionally can be seen lurking outside of Passaic, Hoboken, out in the Jersey swamps. His forked tail and his red eyes glaring in evil malevolence. But somehow the folk, as they gather around their simple campfires, they sing their simple songs and drink their simple Rheingold, you know that they will survive. They will survive. By God, the Garden State will survive and outlive us all. I say proudly, this is WOR New York, the next Jersey station. And I will tell you to stay tuned for Lester Smith and the news.
News and detail on the hour from the WOR newsroom. Path talks stop tonight, but the trains won't stop tomorrow. President Nixon has signed an executive order to delay for 60 days any strike by the carmen against the Port Authority Trans-Hudson Rail System. The chairman of the National Mediation Board made that announcement tonight at the Port Authority building, where contract talks had been in progress all day long. The head of the Railway Carmen Local 1330, Salvatore Reyes, said that his union will honor the president's order, which provides for a fact-finding board to take a month to study the dispute between the union and the Port Authority. The union would then be prohibiting from striking the PATH system for still another 30 days after the board reports. Demands of the striking Long Island Railroad non-operating employees had had an effect on the PATH talks. Reyes said his union was seeking parity with the Long Island workers